Welcome to the Noontime Public Affairs program here on KAFM Radio, 88.1 Grand Junction, Colorado. My name is Rick Castellini.
And I'm Adam Cochran. As long as my mic's working, I'm not hearing myself. Let me see if my... there we go. Am I there? Yeah, I'm there. There we go.
You see yourself? Okay. Yep. Did you hear me?
We come into the studio about 10 seconds before we start recording or before we start talking. And sometimes it takes a second to get our levels going and all that fun radio stuff. But we're here.
We are here.
Yourself?
Oh, there we go.
You're there. I hear you.
Mine was kind of
there
crackling.
There we go. And everybody else hears us, too.
And again, Rick Castellini, Adam Cochran, KFM Radio, Noontime Public Affairs. We are here every month on the third Wednesday of the month from noon to 1 p.m. Mountain Time. You can listen to us here on the radio or go to kafmradio.com.
Yeah. Dot org.
Dot org.
Dot org.
I knew I was saying something wrong. KFMradio.org. And you can listen to us from anywhere. You can call us from anywhere in the country, 970-241-8801, extension 1. So 970-241-8801, extension 1. Or you can also be really modern and cool with us and tweet us at Help Me Rick or at Talking Digital, and we'll try to answer as many questions via the Twitter feed while we're here sitting in the program talking and jabbering about technology, or call us up. 241-8801 extension 1, and again that's 970 area code. And I just returned late last night from a quick over the weekend trip, Adam, with my golfing buddies.
I saw that. That's why I wasn't sure if we were doing a show today. I wanted to make sure you made it back.
It was tough getting out of Dallas on the weekend because there was storms in Dallas, but I'll tell you what, it's fun being a technology guy, and I know you do the same thing. I tend to notice a lot of things and kind of try to observe what's going on. We got to go to the opening U2 concert in North America on Sunday night.
That's cool.
And that was kind of fun.
Did they have BlackBerry promotional stuff?
BlackBerry was everywhere.
Really?
But the funny thing, Adam, was that as towards the end of the show, and we've all been to concerts, most people have been to concert, and in the 60s and 70s and even in the 80s, the big thing to do at a concert was what?
Hold up your lighter.
Hold up your lighter.
Yeah.
And there would be flickers around,
right?
Right. Well, it was pretty funny because at the end of this concert, Bono actually asked you to hold up your cell phone.
Yeah.
The whole place, this Soldier Field in Chicago, almost lit up.
Yeah.
Because I think every single seat had a minimum of one phone.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Absolutely. You know, Weird Al, at his concerts, he ends his concerts with a song called We All Have Cell Phones.
Oh.
And it's like a ballad, and everybody waves their cell phone in the air.
And it's amazing because everyone has one.
It's really cool. Yeah.
It was unbelievable. The funny thing was, you could, as you looked around the stadium, you could see the different brightness of the different ones, but it was unbelievable because I remember going to concerts when I was in college, and you see the flicker of the few people in the stands that do have a lighter. And so being an iPhone user, actually two of my other buddies are iPhone users also, we all happen to have a lighter application. And so we fired up the little lighter application. So we had the little flickering digital lighter while we were there at U2.
Right.
That was kind of funny. The other thing I did notice about Chicago, and I have not noticed this in other cities I've traveled, like Denver and Salt Lake and Tucson and Phoenix and the places I usually go to a little more often.
Uh-huh.
I swear you walked by at least six or eight people per block with headphones in their ears.
Yeah.
Walking around, you know, and most of them were white headphones indicating probably an Apple product.
Right.
And that amazed me. I've never noticed that many people wearing headphones.
I think it's more common in big cities.
Do you see it a lot on the college campus?
Yeah, quite a bit. But I think it's more common in big cities because people walk a long ways.
So they're listening to podcasts
and music. They kill a lot of time. And I know this, that when I'm listening to my podcasts, the people in New York, like the CNET folks or the LA folks, you know, either one, they all talk about it. And you can tell that it's a common thing. They talk about carrying their Kindles everywhere. They talk about... You know, their iPod.
I saw one
headphones.
Of those on an airplane.
Yeah. And so I think the more you commute and the longer you spend sitting in one place, I think
and
that's
so they're probably off their train or bus and just listening to it on the street.
Yeah.
But it was amazing. And you're right. I have not been to a city as big as Chicago in quite a while. And so it was kind of interesting. But I just thought it was an incredible thing that I noticed that there was that many people wearing headphones. But it was fun. But I'll tell you what, Adam and I had an idea. It was actually Adam's idea today because we always come up with our theme, so to speak, for our show. Oh, we try to get with, if we're really good, we have the theme within a 30-minute window of the show. But today, I think Adam actually got it within like an hour.
This is a good show. One. Yeah, I love this. I could almost have a show just about this every week.
We could. You really, really could. Well, we decided this week to talk about Google. Because Google has so many things going on. Did my tweet kind of spur that?
No, actually, I said it, and then I saw your tweet, which I thought, hey, this is perfect. Okay. So that's great.
So Google, a lot of people think that Google is just a search engine.
Right.
And some people don't even realize that. But if you only use Google to search the web, you have not even begun to touch the surface of what they can do.
I think it's kind of baffling to people who don't understand Google. In fact, I haven't checked Google's stock lately. Where's Google's stock?
I haven't either. I have not checked it. Apple, I'll tell you what, has gone way back up.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about Google today. How much?
$488.50.
So it's still below the 500, but it's gone quite a bit back up again. But you know why?
Today's announcement? No.
No.
What are you thinking?
The recession's over.
Oh, that's right.
So,
I forgot about that.
So it's good. Yeah. Everything's going back up.
Good deal.
Things are all roses and...
Yeah.
Roses and beautiful white billowy clouds again. All right, so 241-8801 is our phone number. If you have a question about Google or a little story you would like to share about the way you use Google, maybe something that didn't go right in Google, it doesn't have to be a Google-related question, call us up.
We'll answer tech questions too.
Yeah. Anything. 241-8801, extension 1, or Twitter us at HelpMeRick or at TalkingDigital.
Yep. Well, I guess what I was saying earlier is that the people see that Google's stock is worth 488 or 500 roughly. You can figure it's always in that range. And they can't figure out how a search engine is worth that. How does a website that helps me find, you know, puppies on the internet or whatever, how come that is worth so much money and how do they get so much money for that? And so by the end of this show today, I think you're going to be able to figure that out. I think it'll make sense to you why Google is worth so much money and what they do. Google, The main thing is Google is a profitable company. Mm-hmm. Unlike many internet companies, Google is profitable. You look at Amazon, then Amazon took 10 years to become profitable, something like that. I forget.
But again, they're selling products.
Right.
That's a common realtor thing.
You'd think that they would make a profit since they're selling something. Google isn't selling us anything.
Right.
And so a lot of people, it becomes baffling too.
We're going to take a quick phone call here.
Hi there. You're on a public affairs technology show with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
You talking to me?
Yeah,
we're talking
sure
to you.
Are.
What's your name, sir?
Oh, okay.
You're on.
Oh, thank you very much. Here's the issue. I have a club that we have a website.
Okay.
And we always update the website with a newsletter. And the webmaster disappeared, and we have a website out there that we cannot get to.
Yeah.
Normally we went to FTP Commander, put the file in PDF, went to FTP Commander and then updated the website.
Right. How big is this club? Is it a national
club? No, it's a local model airplane club.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Well, what's your solution, Rick? I know what mine is.
Well, do you have your own domain name? You have a Grand Junction Model Airplane Club.com? Is that?
Yes. And we have a domain name. That's correct.
Do you know who is your host? Who's hosting your website?
I've been selected while I was screaming to do this work.
Okay. But no, as far as...
I'm ignorant. All I know is the website's out there. I published a newsletter. I tried to get the newsletter on the website, and I
stopped
can't
working.
Get to the website.
Okay.
Ooh, okay. So is the website... Can you give us the domain name that we can look it up and kind of see what's going on? Do you know what it is?
Well, that's okay.
Here's what you're going to have to do. You need to find out three things. Okay, you have a pencil ready?
Yeah.
All right, number one, you got to figure out who is hosting your website.
And how does that happen?
Well, there's a couple different ways you can do it. Anytime anyone has a website, you have to have a computer system out there, a network that will host your files that then broadcasts it out to the rest of the world.
Okay.
And what you have to find out is who you're paying to do that. Generally, you're going to pay somebody.
We don't know if there was any payments made.
That's what I'm wondering, if the website disappeared.
There usually does, unless it's hard. Boy, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
You know what? This is a question that's probably way too complex to try to explain over the phone because there is a fair amount of little details we got to find out before and then during the during the answering process. I'm going to say your best bet is to email Adam and I, one of us, your email address, and we can try to talk to you about what's going on. Or you can send us a you can call 257-0825. That's my number, and we can try to help you out, because this is not a, unfortunately, we try to be a little bit entertaining here.
Halfway entertaining.
And okay. This is just,
you
not going
to
be
laugh a little bit or something.
It's no, something that
this is just going to, we're going to see a lot of people turning their dials from 88.1, and we don't want to do that.
Here's the website. GJModelEars.org.
Model Eaters?
Model Ears.
GJ.
Modelers.
Model E-E-R-S. .org.
Okay. Well, do that for us. You've got the phone number. You can get my email address off my website, helpmerick.com.
When should I make this call?
You can do it anytime. It'll go to voicemail at any time.
Okay. And I won't forget to talk to you. You'll return me a call? How does this work?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I return all calls.
I'll get the, so you can get something more entertaining on the radio.
Okay,
thank you very
sounds
much.
Good. Bye-bye. Yeah, boy, that would probably take us a half an hour.
Yeah, and not an exciting one either. There is a...
Did they come up?
It did come up. So we know that they're paying their bills.
Well, now the first place...
It's a Joomla website.
Oh, so it is a CMS.
Yeah, and...
The first thing I would...
Designed by SiteGround Web Hosting.
There you go.
So SiteGround Web Hosting, and there's a little link at the bottom of the page.
So if he goes to his own website at the very... Let me see the item real quick. It's the lower right-hand side, probably?
It's at the very, very bottom. So if we go here... I'm sorry. If you go to the website, gjmodelers.org, you scroll all the way down to the very, very bottom, small print at the very, 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 very bottom. And I mean the very bottom. So once you get to the bottom, see if there's anything below that.
Below the white.
Below the white even, yep. And it says, powered by Joomla and designed by SiteGround Web Hosting.
Click that, though. Let's see. Maybe that's the gentleman that's missing.
I did click on it, and it's still there.
Looks like, so it's a national web host. So.
Well,
and that's got a phone number there.
Yep.
That's who he needs to call.
Yep, that's what we want to do.
All right,
and I know that there's a way of getting it done. So
excellent,
terrific.
All right, but you can give us a call. Don't let that last question be afraid. Normally, we can answer questions just like that. 241-8801 extension 1 is the phone number, or you can Twitter us. As we did get a tweet.
Did we?
We did. I did, from Dr. Strangefellow. I think regular listeners to KFM will know who that is. And he's asking, what is the advantage of using a program like TwitAdder? Now, I personally have not used TwitAdder. I heard this mentioned just a minute ago by a gentleman who I believe may know Dr. Strangefellow. TwitAdder is probably, Adam, if you can look that one up.
Yes.
There's so many add-on Twitter programs, third-party Twitter programs.
Yeah.
And I'm just assuming that maybe, looking at the name of it, is it one that does like we have where we can tie it to our website and it'll automatically tweet
I'm not sure.
what's going on?
Let's take a look. Is it two words or one?
Well, it's probably one. TwitAdder.
Okay. Right.
ADDER.
Yep.
Not an utter. It's TwitAdder.
Yeah, right. We'll look it up. The website's a little slow right now.
And maybe if Dr. Strangefellow happens to be in the vicinity of KFM radio, he could even come in and ask or kind of explain what the program is, and we can kind of tell it.
I'm looking for it now.
Because I'm starting to use Hootsuite
because
I'm a big Web 2.0 guy. And the fact
TweetAdder.
No yet.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And Hootsuite's a neat thing because it's online.
Okay.
It's a web-based product. You turned me on to TweetDeck, which
TweetDeck's
I love.
My favorite.
I love that. And, of course, I've tried a host of other different things on the iPhone. Did you find it? What did you find out?
Well, I found TweetAdder. TweetAdder, there's a Twitter user called TweetAdder. I'm still looking.
That's okay. We'll keep going.
I'm still looking, but yeah, we'll have to take a look and see.
We'll just put the word out. If anybody knows Dr. Strangefellow, or DJ Strangefellow. Did I say doctor the first time? DJ Strangefellow. You can feel free to refer him to call the show, 241-8801 extension 1, or we love in-studio guests.
Interviews.
In-studio
Absolutely.
Guests are always just exciting. All right, so let's go back to the topic real quick. And the topic was Google.
Google.
And we were trying to talk about that as more than a search engine.
Absolutely.
Now, probably what do you think is the second most used service of Google?
Google Maps.
You think that one is?
What do you think it is?
I was going to say Gmail.
No, I think Google Maps is more used.
I think
there's a lot of people who don't use Gmail.
Yeah.
But tons of people who go to Google Maps. And
more than MapQuest, you think?
I think so.
Really?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it depends
on
where
you're
at.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. But
the thing is, Google has better satellite view maps and better, I mean, it's
less clutter.
Yeah.
Less clutter. I did it, speaking of my Chicago trip, Adam. And I think you used to do this with your local yard sale finding.
Uh-huh.
Create custom maps on Google where you can place your own markers and then print out a map. You can add information like phone numbers and things like that. But I did that for our trip, and I put in restaurants and the golf courses and et cetera. Extremely cool service, and I don't think you can do all that kind of stuff as easily with the other mapping programs.
A lot of people use Google Maps not realizing that they're using Google
That's
Maps
true
because
too.
Google Maps is built into cell phones, it's built into websites, it's built in so many places that when you look up an address from your address book in your cell phone, if you have a smartphone, it automatically takes you to Google Maps to show you where it is. So I think it gets used more whether or not people realize they're using
knowingly
it,
or not.
A whole different story. Yeah.
Right. So, but Google Maps, if you've not used it, when you're in the main Google webpage, it should be in the little bitty toolbar at the very top of the screen, or you click on the word more.
Yep.
And then there's even more, isn't there? Is it more?
Yeah, if you go to more and then even more, that's kind of where I'm going for most of the meat of today's show.
Right.
Is you can click on more and then even more, and you get to see what really all
is
the thing, or you get to see all the things that Google does.
Well, the Google Maps, since we brought that up.
Yeah.
The Google Maps allows you to do lots of different things. Not only look up an address, but you can do directions just like you can in MapQuest or some of the other mapping programs. And then not only can you do directions, but if you are in a big city, you can do directions and you can have a choice of whether you're going to do public transportation or walking. And it'll customize the map based on what you chose.
Right.
Walking or public transportation. And if you're in a larger city, it will have real-time traffic.
Right.
That saved us tons of time in Chicago this week.
I'm sure.
Because we were traveling around. We were traveling 30 miles out into the suburbs to play golf and have to go back into town to the hotel. So we would look at the maps, and if we saw a lot of red and a lot of yellow, we would just take some back streets and be able to circumvent it.
Were all of you carrying smartphones?
Yeah, three out of the five of us were.
Cool.
So it was pretty neat. So it was kind of funny. But that's, if you've not tried Google Maps, it's worth looking at. I don't think you'll go back to using MapQuest again or whatever map service you're currently using. We also mentioned Gmail. Gmail, if you've been listening to me or watching my website for any length of time, you know that I am a Gmail fanboy.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that at the moment.
Yes.
And there, nothing has come across the line that I've seen yet that comes close to what Gmail can do, especially when you learn a little bit of the tricks of the trade with Gmail, because it is different. And it takes a little bit of time to kind of understand some of the verbiage and some of the ways they're going about doing things.
Yep.
So what else you got? What else do you think?
Well,
let's see. What's next? I'm thinking we
should just go rapid fire down the list.
Well,
do you think we can get through very many of them?
I think we can. You know, the other one that a lot of people are always surprised about is news.
Right.
News.google.com.
Yeah.
If you're any kind of a news junkie at all, or even if you're not a news junkie, you just want to read the news. The thing I love about the news website of Google, Adam, is that it's totally neutral. It basically rotates rotates headlines from over, 4,500 sources?
I don't even remember how many, but it chances are if there's any source you read on a regular basis, even if it's a local paper, it's on their list.
Right, and if you go to their website, news.google.com, and you search for, like, maybe British U2 tour, I don't know, whatever.
Right.
Whatever you search for, it'll give you the results of literally hundreds of sources.
Right.
So you can choose whether you want to read it in the Atlanta Tribune or you want to read it in GJ Sentinel.
Well, the other thing, too, you can choose by topic. Mm-hmm. So if you want sports, if you just like you read the newspaper, only it will go straight after the stuff you're interested in, either in a broad category or something very specific, like a person's name or a specific location.
Fun thing for me with Google News is that if you're reading a popular topic, it's really interesting and enlightening to read the same topic from at least four or five sources.
Right.
Because you're going to see that most news these days comes out of a news bureau.
Right.
And so people will either use the story as it comes out of the bureau, or they'll just kind of revamp it a little bit and put it on their site, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And so when you read it from four or five, six sources, it's crazy the kind of little different nuances that get put in or taken out.
Changing a few adjectives or taking out adjectives makes a big difference in a lot of cases.
So Google News, Google Maps, those are two huge, kind of hidden.
Yeah.
People don't really know about them. Go out and check it out.
I think the place to start, really, if you want to explore Google, is, like I said, if you go to google.com, then up at the very top, there's this little blue or letters and words in blue.
The links.
Little toolbars. Yeah, mm-hmm. Little links up at the top. And one of them is more. And then for more, you go to even more. And at that point, that'll be the jumping off point that will take you to everything else that Google offers. Everything, including the things we've talked about so far. So what I thought is we'd just go straight down the list, rapid fire. And if we don't get all the way through the list, we might have a content for another show later on, sure. too.
Let me get the phone number real quick. 241-8801, extension 1. 241-8801, extension 1. Or, the area code is 970. Or you can Twitter us at HelpMeRick. Or at Talking Digital with your questions. We do have another tweet here. This one is from, let's see, I just got my little thing get out of the way there. This one is from On Larson. I'm going to say Larson. Google is actually taking in workers. Read at, I have no idea.
There you go. Google's taking workers.
Google is actually taking in workers.
So they're hiring, maybe?
I don't know.
Who knows?
It says to go to ihatejobs.net.
There you go.
There you go.
There you
check
go. You
out.
Got some Twitter spam, it looks
like. I felt like Wolf Blitzer just now because they cut to the tweets.
That's right.
I was watching too much of that in the airport yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was actually very funny because they're always cutting to the tweets. Okay, yep. I'm going to Twitter. And actually, they were going to come back to him one time. And they said, no, don't come back to me yet, Wolf said. I'm tweeting, he said.
There you go.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, beginning. We'll just go alphabetical order or whatever order these are in. Yeah, they're alphabetical. There we go. First one is Google Alerts. Google Alerts is a service that lets
Crazy
you go
good.
In. Now, first of all, I think a good place to start. Let's actually back up a little bit.
You already told us a good place to start.
Well, I'm going
to
tell you better. Okay. Well, it's going to go into what you talk about because so many of these things are going to tie into here. Set up a Gmail account. Go to gmail.com and set up a Gmail account. The reason is once you have a Gmail account.
Even if you don't use it.
Yeah, you don't have to touch it. But once you have a Gmail account, then you get access to a lot of these features that you won't get unless you have a Google account. So set up a Gmail account first. Just go to gmail.com and fill out the form. Once you have that account, then you can get into a lot of these things that we're going to talk about. And the first one here is alerts. Google Alerts is a feature that lets you, say, for example, you want to always be reminded about a birthday or you want to remember to do something next week, you can put a Google Alert in there and it will send you an email and a text message on your telephone if you want it to and tell you that thing's coming. And then Google gets even more specific and lets you receive alerts when a certain website is updated or what are you thinking?
Well, no, exactly. Yeah. And that's, I have, currently I'm only doing two.
Right.
I do one for Ubuntu because I follow Ubuntu Linux. And so I have a news alert for Ubuntu Linux. So you can set it up whether it's a blog, a news website, as Adam mentioned, a particular website, or just anything.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick call real quick.
Yeah. Hi, you're on the Public Affairs Show on KFM with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
I was just wanting a fax number to your studio.
I don't know if we have that. We'll have to hunt that down real quick. Do you mind if I put you on hold?
Sure.
Or just listen off the air and we'll...
listen off the air and we'll get it.
Yeah, that's a better solution. Yeah, if we find a fax, we'll just give it to you over the air.
Oh, I was calling from my desk. I am not in a radio area right now.
Ah.
Oh, okay. We will have to check. Yeah, because this is just the...
was it for our show or is it for general?
For your show.
Oh, for our show. Okay, hang on, Adam. If
you
put it on hold, then I'll go ask.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, he's looking that up. We're going to put you on hold real quick, and I'm going to keep talking about Google. We'll come right back to you, okay?
Okay.
All right. All right. As we go back, I want to mention Google, but actually let's go ahead and take the fax number for our show.
The fax number is 2410995.
Thanks so much.
You bet. No problem.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Wow, we have a fax number for our show.
I hope it's not a subpoena.
I hope so, too.
But the alerts, I think that gives people enough to think about it, and you can go in there and take a look, but no, I love that
Never
feature.
Forget anything again, but also be told about things that you wouldn't know about otherwise. Google Blog Search, let's skip that until we get to the actual blogs.
We can talk real quick.
Okay.
And do it with Blogger.
Okay.
Just do it together.
Google offers a service called Blogger. This is where I was going to go with the model airplane question guy if he had lost his website. Blogger lets anybody set up a small website that's very easy to add content to. You can add pictures, stories, everything, and it creates a place on the internet for you. And I like to set them up for homeowners associations, for people who like to travel a lot.
Maybe school groups.
School groups. You can set up a blog, and it just is it's a website that keeps people informed about the things you're doing. And
it lets everybody interact with it.
Right.
So you can give multiple people authorization to set up or add to the calendar, add articles, things like that.
Right. Or so you can take that to the next level with the Google blog search. And since Blogger is a service hosted by Google, they also have a special search engine made just for blogs. So you can go into that search engine if you want to search for blogs about somebody who snowboards or people who travel or something like that. You can search the blogs for specific content.
And just to define blog, a lot of people always ask us, what is a blog?
Yep.
A blog is short for web log. That's how it kind of started, is a web log. So it's the easiest way to describe it. It's kind of like an online journal or an online
right.
diary. But it's become so much more than that over the last few years that it's really just another way to do a website without a lot of technical knowledge.
Exactly. Zero technical knowledge, really.
Yeah, really. I mean, if you can do email, you can do a blog.
That's right. The next one, probably the most controversial thing Google has ever done. That's what I
think.
Been
in the news quite a bit lately.
It's huge. Every time they do something with it, it gets to be a big deal. And that's the Google book search. Google went around pretty much to every library, every public library, scanned all of the out of print and out of copyright books, and also books with orphaned copyrights, which means they couldn't track down the copyright holder. They don't know who it was.
Right.
And they scanned all of these books, and then they put them on the internet so that you can.
And they're still in
them.
The process, right?
There's yeah, so it's many still it's always ongoing, and I think that's one of the reasons that they bought ReCAPTCHA, which is one of the things we'll talk about it maybe if we get to it. They scanned all these books, and now they put them up there so that you can search the books, but you can't read the books.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you can go through and search for the text of something in A Tale of Two Cities, but you can't sit there and read page by page of A Tale of Two Cities.
Which is what some people were worried about.
Exactly. And so once they did that, it made it so you can find content in a book and search for it, just like you'd expect with Google, but then Google pays for that.
And maybe you're looking for a quote from a character or
exactly.
something. That's a great way
yeah.
to do it.
Yeah, and you could. I mean, if you wanted to search for every page of the book, you could read every page of the book, but it's not the best way to do it.
Well, and I think most people,
they would
always laugh about that, because who wants to really read
yeah.
on a browser?
Oh, who would want to read on a computer?
Yeah,
think.
Yeah.
But going on to the...
Should we skip
a little
that?
Bit more of that.
Google
book
sorry.
Search?
Oh,
yeah, we'll skip that in a second. But Google book search is... The one thing I was going to say about it is recently Google made a deal and paid for all of the orphaned copyrights of any book. And that's what the big controversial thing was happened, is now if they can't chase down the copyright holder for a book, Google owns the copyright on it, which is controversial, but I think maybe there were some ulterior motives there to kind of get content released into the open and you know, gives them the ability to say what's available to everybody. So it's kind of interesting. The next one, we're just going to go quickly. Google Checkout is a way of transferring money back and forth through the internet.
Kind of Google's version of PayPal.
Similar to PayPal, but it's made more for small payments, mm-hmm. little back and forth.
Small commerce websites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess buy.com uses it, so it doesn't have to be small.
Yeah, it's available, but there's a lot of hang-ups on it. You can't do repeat payments and things like that with it. But the reason I did want to talk about it is Google is trying to make a deal with newspapers to allow newspapers to receive micropayments through Google Checkout, which means if you read a news story, it'll say, read the rest of this story for 1 cent. Well, PayPal doesn't want to deal with 1 cent transactions. You know, it'll cost you 35 cents to do a 1 cent transaction. So what Google is trying to get people to do is set up accounts that will accumulate the money and then make transfers across or for accounts. So it's interesting. We don't know whether it'll happen or not, but it's one way that newspapers might be able to make some money based on their content. The next one is Google Chrome, web browser.
Which is a product, not a service.
It's a program.
So it's a program. You've already also heard us talk about, a few months ago, we talked about the Chrome operating system,
right.
which is going to be based on Google Chrome, and that's a browser, just like Firefox, just like Internet Explorer, if you're still using AOL or MSN.
You have a Mac.
Those are browsers.
Safari.
Yeah, Safari.
They're just web browsers. It's a program you actually install on your computer, but it's very, very fast.
That's clean. Just like everything else Google does, clean.
Very, very nice. Custom search, I'm actually going to skip that. That's kind of if you want to make a custom search for just searching certain websites.
Right. Or if you have your own website, you can integrate custom search into your website.
Right.
Like at helpmerick.com, WordPress has a very mediocre search engine, so I installed Google custom search.
Excellent. Google Desktop, there's not as much use for that as there used to be, but Google Desktop is a program, again, that you install on your computer, but it allows you to search for files and documents and photos and things like that on your computer the same way you'd search for them in Google. So if you know that you wrote a letter to your grandma at some point, you can type in Dear Grandma into your Google Desktop, and it will search your whole computer for any documents you have that contain the words Dear Grandma.
You can put widgets mm-hmm. on your desktop, like calculators and weather widgets and calendars and things like that. So, I mean, there's a lot. To me, I'm thinking if you're sitting, I think that's more of an office type per thing. If you have two monitors maybe and you're sitting at your office 8 or 10 hours a day.
Right.
But if you're not sitting there a lot, you're not really looking at your desktop. And if you're working on your computer, your desktop's hidden.
I really think that a lot of it, too, is it slows the computer down. I don't see a lot of reason to have it. I think it's more of a toy in a lot of ways.
Well,
but
it does
have some handy.
And all the modern operating systems have it integrated.
Right.
The Vista, the upcoming Windows 7. We're using Ubuntu here in the studio, which is very cool. I need to ask who did that. And Macintosh with Finder.
Yeah.
It's all built in these days.
Exactly. Moving on to Google Directory. Google Directory is kind of cool because
it kind of reminds me of Yahoo.
It is kind of like old Yahoo. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. What it does is it divides the whole internet up into categories. And so if you want to look about horses, you would go into Google Directory, then you'd go into sports, then you'd go into equestrian,
or
then
animals,
you'd go into breeds, and you would find out that stuff. And it lets you just divide it out. So I think it's an amazingly wonderful way to waste time when you want to just read about something and not sure where you want to go.
Well, it's also, I think, good for new users to the internet. I always mm-hmm. liked Yahoo for that, because if you're a brand new user to the internet, and especially if you are in the 40-plus crowd, which is where I am, we didn't grow up with computers. We didn't grow up searching. We had to use card catalogs and walk through libraries and look at by subject. And that's kind of what this does. It kind of helps you start from broad, go to narrow.
Now, before in a minute, we're going to go into Google Earth, but we have to do our KFM calendar.
Okay, take a short break.
Radio room calendar and check our fax machine to see whether we have an important fax waiting for us.
We'll take a short break. We'll be right back in about... Welcome back to the Noontime Public Affairs with Rick and Adam, talking technology here today about anything related to technology. Our theme today is Google. We're just quickly trying to review the dozens and dozens of different Google services and programs available that I think a lot of folks aren't aware of. So we're going to continue talking about that. But if you have a question regarding Google or anything technology related, give us a call, 241-8801 here at KFM, 970-241-8801. Or you can also Twitter us at Talking Digital is Adam, or at Help Me Rick is me.
Cool.
All right. So we left off with the Google Directory.
No, Google, we were just starting Google Earth.
We're just starting Google Earth.
Yeah, Google Earth. Now, the history of Google Earth, and I think where Google became aware of Google Earth and everybody else became aware of Google Earth, goes back to before Google Earth was found, and is during the beginning of the second Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was doing pictures, these 3D movable pictures, so they could
flybys.
Yeah, because they wanted to point out where Fallujah was, and they wanted to point out where, you know, all the different places in Iraq, and as we moved into the different palaces and things like that, they were able to get this weird globe-looking thing where they could zoom right into the maps.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was very shortly after that that Google announced that they were buying the company that produced those maps, the satellite images and all of that. So Google bought that company and then made it, for the most part, made it available to the public for free as Google Earth.
Right.
And now you can download that, put it on your computer, and now you can, if you have broadband internet, which I don't even know if I need to say that because everybody has broadband internet. There's nobody left on dial-up anymore. But they are, if they're civilized. Anyway, moving on. But now using
that.
Google Earth and broadband
internet.
That was internet,
Adam Cochran?
It was Adam Cochran, yeah. You can zoom right into any latitude and longitude to any.
They're not live pictures.
No,
I've had a couple people say they've been looking at their driveway,
right,
and they can't find the car that they know is in the driveway, and
right.
it never
or
moves.
Or vice versa, they think it's live because they see their car parked
right.
in the driveway where they always park it.
Right.
The pictures, I think, have to be at least a year old.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think
on
there's
that.
A. I think there's a rule,
and
in
I
there
think it also depends on what they're a picture of, right?
Exactly. Oh yeah, yeah.
Or what area?
One of my favorite Google Earth stories was back 2 years after the Gulf War started. the military got upset with Google Earth because it showed where their tanks were parked outside of one of the palaces.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got upset at Google Earth and said, you can't be posting pictures of where we're parking our tanks. And Google said, those pictures are 2 years old. Move your tanks once in a while, because the tanks have been parked out there for, you know, they'd parked them in the same formation in the same place for 2 years. And
so in that case, they looked live.
It was, they looked live, and the military was upset about that. But it turned out to be the military's fault, not Google's.
Very cool service.
So, yeah, very cool, and you can add to
they
it.
They just added Google Space last year, mm-hmm. where you can look at pictures of the map and Mars.
Yep.
And they just added Google Oceans just this year, I believe, this spring.
I think so. That's when the they found the the whatever it was under the ocean. That
okay, you and I are both
about.
Blabbermouths.
Yeah.
And we're spending about 3 minutes per. I think, should we try to go 30 seconds?
Let's give it a quick. Let's see if we can do it. Google
right.
Finance. Track your stocks on Google.
That was an easy one.
There you go. Google 411. I love it. Awesome. I use it too often. You find businesses, and this one you don't use your computer for.
You can dial, text message or phone.
Yep. Dial 1-800-GOOG-411, and it'll say city and state and business name. And then it'll tell you, and then you can have it text message you the phone number and address, or you can have it just tell it to you and connect you directly, and it's free.
Mm-hmm.
That's very cool.
Very cool.
Google Health, second most controversial thing Google has done. They allow
it's not
you,
real used widely yet.
No, and it's right now it's personal. There's a few businesses trying to implement it, but but it's still an opt-in service.
Right.
But what it does allows you to put your medical information up on the internet.
Password protected.
Password protected, so nobody else can see it. But it puts your medical information there so that you can have access to it from anywhere.
Right. List your medicines, list your doctors and their phone numbers, things like that, if you want to do that. And again, just like any service, you can use it as little or as much as you want.
Right. The two controversial parts about it, first of all, it's on the internet, and that makes it controversial.
Right.
The second thing is that a lot of doctor's offices want to be able to post stuff to your Google Health and update your Google Health for you,
right.
Not have access to it so they can see it, but just so they can update it for you. And some
from a back
like
end
that.
Kind
yep.
of thing.
iGoogle, that's a whole show in and of itself.
It's a way to customize Google, so when you go to it, you get the news and blog titles and any information, you know, weather, sports scores, things like that that you want to see. It's a customized online newspaper is what iGoogle is.
Yep.
Images. Images, Adam, is something that I've been using for years before Google had it, but it's one of the neatest things I thought about technology back in the 90s when everything was still dial-up. There was a college in California or Arizona that came up with an algorithm to be able to search the web, which at the time was very small, and just pull out images based on a name. Like if you wanted to search for cheetah, then it would try to find all the images related to cheetah. It was slow. It was on dial-up. It was not a real intuitive service, but the Google images is phenomenal. If you're looking for pictures of the Eiffel Tower,
right?
Type in Eiffel Tower and boom, you're going to get thousands of them.
And now that you have a cell phone, it's a great tool. This is just a side thing for it. But when I have restless kids and or babysitting little kids or something, it's very cool to just type in fire truck or monkey or police car or whatever, and you keep the kids busy just looking at pictures. So there's some cool stuff you can do that.
We talked about Google Maps already.
Yep. Talked about
Google
Maps.
Talked about Google News.
Google News, yep.
Product search. Product search is kind of
patent
fun.
Search?
Oh, I missed it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, patent search is exactly what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. If you decide you want to develop a whole new type of roller skate, you can do the Google search for Google patent search for all the people who've patented roller skate patents and find out whether your idea has been taken.
I'm going to try to patent an inline skate with training wheels.
Good idea.
Right?
That's really good.
Is that a good one?
You should do that.
I shouldn't have said that on
you
the air.
You should patent a way of connecting to the internet through your telephone. the next one, Google product search. I think there's two ways to use Google product search.
Right.
One is if you want to search for the best prices on stuff, but I think there's better websites for doing that. The way I like Google product search is if you want to type in the features that you're looking for in a product, and it will show you the products that are available that have those features. Like if I'm looking for a camcorder that has a microphone jack on it, it helps you find the ones that are available there, and I think that's a more useful way of doing it.
I still have to say that the product search is probably one of my, I think it's the least, the least refined.
Yes.
Of a lot of their products.
Right.
Would you agree?
I agree, because I think if you like hunting down good bargains, I would use ShopZilla or Price Grabber.
Right.
And you'll get better results, but But product search is good if you're...
It's there.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Google Scholar. Any college out there or any scholar out there that likes to write scholarly stuff, you can post it up on Google and then you can search for what the latest is.
Right. You're looking for somebody's thesis or somebody's... some kind of a document that was published by a particular professor or something. You might be able to find it using Scholar.
A certain type of disease or what they're doing to control mosquitoes or whatever it might
be. Yep.
Next one, special searches. We'll just kind of... That's topic related. It's kind of like, I think it's kind of like the custom searches. I don't know.
It is. They're kind of, but I think you're right. They go into the topic and then you can search that topic.
Right.
It is. Just use the Google.
Yeah. Use Google and you'll get there. Google Toolbar is another program you install. Every web browser now has Google built mm-hmm. into it. So it's not as important. If you're a web developer, it's kind of handy because it does show you the relevance ratings and things like that.
And if you use a lot of the tools, you can see your Gmail if there's an inbox, and
yeah.
if you have new mail in your inbox, things like that.
At the expense of slowing down your
browser.
It does
have
a
pop-up stopper.
Yeah.
It'll stop pop-ups.
Yeah, most people have toolbars that have six of those running anyway. So, next one, Google Videos is the same as YouTube. If you've heard about YouTube, it's a convergence.
Before they bought YouTube, it was mm-hmm. a bigger deal.
And they still, for some reason, they still keep it around. So.
Oh, this is a good one.
Google
the next
web
one.
Search.
Web search.
You can search the entire web using Google.
Really?
Amazing, isn't it?
Very
yeah,
cool.
Billions of web pages. Let's see. Web search features. We're not going to worry about that one. We're skipping.
Well, and I think what they're doing there is they're talking about all the special things you can do.
Oh, yeah. There's Google Code. Labs I'll come back to if we have time.
Yeah,
I
Labs
think we
is
should
cool.
skip Lab. It's very cool, but I think we should come back to it.
Okay.
Google, the blogger we
we're
talked
picking
about.
Picking up the pace.
Google Calendar, because I want to get to the useful stuff that people will use every day, and Google Calendar is one of those things. Yes.
We just met the new folks here at KFM, and
yep.
Teddy, I believe, is the woman we just met out there. Mm-hmm. She had Google Calendar open on her desktop.
Sweet. Google Calendar is a way of creating a community calendar, and by community, it can be just two people or it can be yourself if you want it to, but it can be a big organization as well to where you can put up all the items on a calendar, and it can be either just viewed or it can be viewed and maintained by multiple people, and the fact
right.
that it's on the internet makes it available to...
Everywhere.
Anywhere.
And if you share it, you can embed it on your website. You can, again, as Adam mentioned, give different people the authorization to share the management of the calendar. And if you have multiple calendars, you can see the color difference and what's going on.
Right. And so even if you were...
free. Did we mention it's free?
It's free. And it's even fairly fast for people who were on slower internet, slower broadband
connections. Well, that's what's always been, since you mentioned that, even if you're not on broadband and you're not one of the folks that made the move, or I have to say there's a few people that live out in the hinterlands that can't get an inexpensive broadband yet, Google is so fast, even
yep.
on dial-up still.
Yep.
It really does work.
They've
well.
Done a good job. Google Docs, awesome. That's what I tell all my students to use now. I told them I don't want them leaving their... when I'm teaching my college classes, I don't want them losing their papers, and I don't want their papers to be on a flash drive somewhere, so I told them to set up a Google accounts and create their stuff in Google Docs.
Google Docs they're really pushing that hard right now, and I've been following Google Documents on Twitter. I follow their feed, and I'll bet, Adam, there's at least 5 to 7 organizations, whether it be a government entity, mm-hmm. a school, a university, things like that, that they talk about every week that converted
yeah.
from Microsoft Office
oh, yeah.
to Google Docs.
Right.
And go to my website, helpmerec.com. You can search for that or go find their blog. It's amazing. It's a lot more streamlined and ubiquitous than trying to do Microsoft
right.
Office.
I feel sorry for Zoho. Zoho is wonderful, and I think they still have a place. But
I got a feeling there's going to be a marriage here
I
at some
hope
point.
So. I hope so, because I love Zoho, which is a similar service. It's online. Let's see. Next up, we've got Gmail.
We talked about
that briefly. Google Groups. Google Groups goes way back to the old internet days where you...
And it's now kind of split, though, into two things.
Yeah.
Yeah, Google Groups used to... They actually... Google acquired what were called the news groups.
Yep.
Prior to the internet getting as big as it was, a lot of people joined groups to exchange like information.
Right.
Like we had the gentleman earlier about the train modelers. There was a train modeling news
modelers.
Group.
Yeah.
Oh, airplane modelers.
Yeah.
And you could exchange information with people who joined the group about that. Those, I don't think, are quite as common anymore. People are doing a lot of other different things.
I don't think people realize they're out there. I think they're still in heavy use.
Mm-hmm. But by people that have been using
them. Yeah, exactly.
Right?
I don't think people realize that they're out there and how wonderful they are.
And now you can create your own, though. So
right.
you talked about newsletter earlier, with mm-hmm. the train modeler. if you wanted to create a, or did I say training?
Yeah, that's
airplane.
Okay. Don't worry about it.
Remember, I was born in the 60s.
Back before there were airplanes.
Back before there were airplanes. but if you wanted to create a newsletter email group, you could do it through Google Groups.
Exactly. Yeah, you can create a group for anything, any topic you enjoy. We're going to skip Knoll. We're going to skip Orkut, which is like, get on Facebook. Next one is Picasa.
Oh, another show in itself.
Picasa is a mandatory program to put on your computer first thing, even if you have a Mac or a PC or Linux.
Any of them.
Searches your entire computer for all the photos, shows them to you in one place, makes it very easy to manage and back them up.
And email them.
And email them. It's better than iPhoto. iPhoto is a terrific program on the Mac, but Picasa is one of the few programs out there that I say that they even do better than Mac on. I mean, they do a terrific job. Google Reader, I think, is kind of like iGoogle. I have a hard time using Google Reader iGoogle, but Google Reader is a program that goes out and reads the information that's being posted on various websites throughout the internet, and you can pick which website
you subscribe.
To do it.
Exactly. You
a lot of people use it. I think it gets a lot of use on iPhones. When people want to sit down and read the news on iPhones, it's a little easier to do it through Google Reader than it is through
basically, iGoogle. It gives you kind of a text version of whatever articles are out and about that you want to follow.
It's handy.
It's handy for folks that want to gather a lot of news quickly.
Okay. The next one is kind of like Blogger, but it's a little different. It's the new Google websites where you can create your own website. And
all online.
Yeah, fewer limitations than what are put on you when you set up a blog. You can actually create the change the look and feel quite a bit and make it do some neat things. So it's just a way of using Google to host a website. The
SketchUp is cool.
Yeah.
That's the next one is
Google
SketchUp.
Is one of those things Google bought. Nobody could figure out why until they started crossing it over with Google Earth. Google SketchUp is a 3D modeling program.
If you go to the New York City, you don't have to go to Google Earth on this one. If you go to maps.google.com and search for New York City or, like you said, Vegas, and then go to the 3D view, you will actually see actual what they call SketchUps, which are just models of the skyscrapers and the other buildings around.
Changes maps to being 3D.
Apparently, a lot of engineers are starting to use Google SketchUp as not necessarily a replacement in all cases, but at least a way to get models built instead of using AutoCAD. Because AutoCAD, again, is so pricey.
Yep. Yeah, the Wired this month. Did you read that about
That's where I got it from.
Good Enough article. Yeah, it talks about SketchUp. It's good enough. It's not as complex as AutoCAD, but it's great.
It's an awesome article.
Yeah, it really is. I've read the book. There's a whole book about it. It's really cool. Moving on. Google
it's kind of like our show.
It is.
Our show is just good enough.
It's good enough. That's what it has to be.
It's not great.
That's right.
It's not
We're not Leo Laporte.
We're good enough.
We're like the good enough Leo Laportes. Moving on. We've got Google Talk, which is a good enough instant messaging service.
Nobody uses.
Nobody uses because Skype's out there.
Right.
To me, Skype blows it
up. It works real well.
Oh, yeah. It's excellent.
It works very well, but nobody uses it.
It doesn't slow down your computer as much. I love it.
I love it because they do it embedded in Gmail.
Right.
So if you have another Gmail user, I'll do it. This is laziness. This is 21st century living with teenagers. But I'll do it with my daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's in the other room.
Yep.
And then and she's in her room or upstairs. I'll Google Talk her.
Absolutely.
Just mostly to irritate her.
Yeah. You know, my kids
are with the
so
video.
Lazy.
The video Google Talk.
Their video. Yeah, so are my kids. My kids are video Skyping each other next to each other. Sitting in there with their laptops.
That's fun.
Moving on. Google Translate is...
Great website.
Fantastic.
A great tool.
Translate entire paragraphs or entire websites from one language to another. And they have added... Belarusian and, you know, all these
Farsi
weird,
and yeah
everything. It's not that the languages are weird, but weird in the sense you don't see them all the time. Whoops, I clicked on that.
That's
next
okay.
one, YouTube. I got a quick
and it's
story.
It's Y-O-U.
Yeah,
it's not you. It's
exactly.
Y-O-U-tube.
Exactly. I was one quick story. I have a student in my class who came to me and said I broke
Icelandic.
Yeah, Icelandic is a good one. Afrikaans. I have a student in my class who came to me and said, I broke the screen, cracked the screen on my MacBook. And she asked if I knew somebody who would replace it. And there's not that many places around that work on Macs. So I said, I would be willing to experiment, but I've never done it before on a MacBook and they're really sealed up tight. And I said, what I'd recommend is go to YouTube and see if you can find some videos on it. And she says, I'm really worried about
video.
It. I've never worked on a computer before. She was nervous about it. I saw her in class the next time, and I said, how's it going? Do you need my help? And she says, oh, no, I got it taken apart, and I'm waiting for the screen to come so I can put it back in because she saw
a video. She get a used screen on eBay?
Yeah, used screen on eBay.
Nice.
Yep. So YouTube's amazing.
It's a great learning website. So if you want to learn how to cook a flapjack, you want to learn how to put RAM in a computer, there's a good guy out there by the name of Rick Castellini. Put a little RAM.
Yeah.
A RAM how-to on there.
That's right.
A lot of how-to on there.
How many videos do you have up now?
Almost 300.
Fantastic.
Almost, if we can get more people to go, I'm hoping to get 1 million views by the end of the year.
I think you can do it.
We're at 800 and about 30,000.
You can do it.
A lot of Minesweeper views. Still the most popular video by far.
We'll have to see if we can find a pretty girl to do some introductions to your videos or something.
I don't want
to
do it the cheating way. Okay.
You don't want to cheat?
No.
Oh, okay. Well,
I don't think so. Anyway, okay, we got a few more. We almost made it, Adam.
Okay. Next one, Google Mobile. Google Mobile is a way of using Google without using the internet.
Yep.
You just text message Google and do something like movies 81501, and it will text you back the different theaters or the movie times.
Well, but it's also the mobile versions of their search and mobile versions of their Gmail.
Yep.
And those kinds of things on not even necessarily a smartphone. So many phones today have a built-in miniature browser. Even if you don't have an iPhone, you don't have a Trio, you don't have a Pre, those kinds of things, you can still get your email and it's easy to read.
There's three different parts to Google Mobile. There's the Google Mobile that's a text messaging service, a Google Mobile that's the mobile search, like what you're talking about, and then there's also Maps for Mobile. Those three different parts, they all do different things. The text messaging service, I think, is the one that a lot of people don't realize exists. That when they're texting all the time anyway, you can text the weather. You can text. There's a whole list of stuff you can do, probably 30, 40 things you can do with your cell phone.
So we didn't get time to get into Google Labs, but that's one that we did this on. If you go to the More and then Even More on Google's website, in the right-hand column, you'll see Google Labs, a little beaker there with some green liquid. And it is amazing all the other things that they're working
on. Everything that Google doesn't want everybody to know that they're doing, they put in Google Labs for everybody who knows about it to play with.
Right.
And there's some really cool stuff in there.
It's truly amazing.
Just yesterday, one of them went public, the page flip thing for newspapers, that you can read a newspaper the same way on the internet as you do.
So it finally went public on that one?
Yep. So.
Very good.
Anyway, very cool.
Well, we are running out of time for this month's edition of Rick and Adam Talk Technology on KFM Radio 88.1 Grand Junction, Colorado Public Affairs. And we will be back again next month for sure on the third Wednesday between noon and 1. KFM is starting to ramp up for the fall fundraiser, so please watch your mailboxes for early fundraising donations. That's always very, very welcome. Or you can also wait and listen and do the donation during the actual fundraiser. A lot of folks wait, I think, Adam, because they want to get the prizes and the little with the add-ons, the little what do we call them here at KFM? Not the add-ons, the there's a word that we use here.
Premiums.
There we go. The premiums. But that you still get the premiums even if you donate early. So don't hold back if you're waiting for the premiums. They're still there. All right. So this has been Rick and Adam. You can follow us on Twitter at Talking Digital or at Help Me Rick. And we'll be back next month with more technology bliss.
Don't you hear the whistle blow?